This is We Are What We Overcome. What you're about to hear are the ramblings and reflections of three ordinary people, drawing on their own personal and occasionally professional experiences. These conversations are unprepared, subjective, and should not be taken as medical advice or instruction. Anyone seeking help should always carry out their own research, or better yet, speak to a professional about their circumstances.
Apparently it's recording. It's exciting. All right, takes a while. I keep choking. It's annoying. Alrighty then. Do like my usual quality countdown. 3, 2, 1.
We Are What We Overcome on this occasion features musician Matt McGuinness, improviser Nick Tyler, and psychotherapist Wes Evans. Sit back, enjoy, and remember, it's good to talk.
Hello and welcome to We Are What We Overcome, the podcast. We're here to talk about mental health and stuff and hang out with some mates and see how we are all doing. I am Nick, this is Wes, and this is Matt. And we're going to talk today about the wonderful topic of sleep, which is a precious property that we all crave, and somehow our lives deny us it at every possible opportunity. It's most frustrating and probably very bad for us, but we'll talk about that in a moment. First off, we'd like to check in to make sure that we are okay. We are prepared to have a conversation about as divisive a subject as sleep. We'll go to the clearly very wide awake Wes. How are you, mate?
I'm all right, yeah. Ironically, yes, quite tired, but largely okay, thank you. What about you, Matt? How are you?
All right. I've had issues with sleep, but last night I slept like not like a baby. I don't know why they say that, do they? Because babies sleep really badly most of the time.
Slept like a baby. Yeah, wet the bed 3 times, woke up screaming at 4.
Yeah, it hasn't been that bad. Like you never know. There's still time left. But yeah, good. Nick?
Yeah, I am all right. I'm quite intrigued by the topic of sleep. So I'm fairly awake and ready to talk about sleep, which is an alarming combination. Yeah, all right. Things are pretty good, I think. The endless quest to tidy stuff up and sort things out has leaves me up at night deciding whether I should lose things or keep things or hoard things or what. But I realize I'm kind of just, again, there's some kind of insane hoarder rather than a regular, ordinary person. So let's stop that. All right, should we talk about sleep then?
Do you think the shades of our backgrounds are where we are in terms of, like, you're completely awake, Nick, and Wes is wants to go to bed, light. And I'm not sure which way I'm going at the moment.
It's true. Wes is just in twilight darkness. It's a creepy dusk. If we could get the pictures to rotate somehow, that would be perfect. I wonder if, because Wes is tired, he's chosen to be in a darkened space, so it feels like he could hibernate at any moment.
I wish it was as calculated and as clever as that. It's just that this room just is apparently quite dark, and I picked a really bad spot for lighting.
Maybe
a quiet spot in the house. So.
Maybe it's to reflect the fact that Nick's the one who's loaded, and me and you are skint, so we've got no lights on. maybe that's what it is.
That's it. Yeah, I've got a cable trailing out of our house into next doors, so that's working pretty well so far. I got all the light we need.
But it sounds like you're selling a lot of Lego for a lot, you know, for steep prices as well. So
this is the plan. That's giving me sleep. These are my precious objects.
You're selling Lego.
I know. I think it's because I haven't been sleeping, so I've woken up insane and done a mad thing. Which is sort of, we were joking earlier. Sleep does very odd things. Sleep's fascinating because it's not really clear what it does yet, is it? There's lots of good theories about what sleep does. You know, it allows us to transfer short-term memories into long-term memories and consolidate our feelings and memories about the day. But then there's all that weird dreaming stuff that no one can quite make sense of. And then if you don't get enough sleep, you can go absolutely nuts, which is like fascinating for a thing that we seem to spend a lot of our time sort of minimizing the amount that we sleep so we can pack more into the day. I don't know, what are your relationships with sleep? How about you, Matt? How are you and sleep, pals?
I tend to sleep almost immediately when my head hits the pillow. And then I either wake up at 7 in the morning or I wake up at 4.
Is that good to wake up at 4? That sounds horrible.
No, it's bad. Yeah, no, I don't know whether it's just when the paracetamol's worn off or the whiskey, or whether my brain's just decided to kick in for some great reason, or I don't know what it is, or I don't know. But yeah, it's one or the other. But I'm quite grateful that I fall asleep quickly. It's just I wish I could wake up and it'd be light. That would be useful, wouldn't it?
I just felt jealous when you said that you can just put your head down and go straight to sleep.
All right.
Yeah. Sure.
Through the screen and slap you around the face.
It's the sleep of the just, that's what it is. I don't know how I got it.
did you not sleep immediately, Wes? How's your sleep?
I go through weird waves and it's different all the time. And if it's not one thing, it's another thing. So we have everything from a young child in the house that wakes us up at random times through to me constantly finding the bed or the pillow or the mattress or something uncomfortable. To not being able to switch off my brain, so it's so there's always something.
Man, life gets in the way.
Yeah, so I would say, yeah, it's either a challenge to get to sleep or then something wakes me up. It just at different times.
Sounds like the world doesn't want you to sleep, Wes. It's just trying to stop you.
Yeah, it's mean, isn't it? What's going on?
That seems very unfair.
Yeah.
I don't think mine brings on any mental health issues. I think it's just the mental health issues that bring on the lack of sleep. You know, it's the other way around.
Well, that's the risk, isn't it? So lots of struggles with mental health can disrupt sleep. But then at the same time, a lack of sleep can kind of mess with your mental health potentially, can't it? Well, so it's a bit of a bit of a catch-22 there or something, isn't it? That's probably it, not
right. always was a lack of sleep really reduces your capacity to deal with stuff. You know, I've always slept very badly. I do better now because I'm on drugs, which is really helpful. So that does get me to sleep and does keep me asleep, and then I wake up later and I'm mostly all right. But I know that not getting enough sleep for me means I'm just not able to emotionally cope with the world around me. I can probably do work because, you know, how hard's a job? But I can't engage at any kind of emotional level, and any kind of any kind of upset feels far more severe, far less capacity for just going, oh well, maybe that wasn't what was supposed to happen, it wasn't what someone meant at all. And yeah, actually no, if I'm very tired, then I've got no filter, no gap of, you know, to reason my way out of a problem. It'll just go straight to overload. Everything is terrible. Oh my god, let's start screaming. A very healthy approach. Well, I find if I've got enough sleep, then I'm quite sleep. Chilled.
You were talking about what sleep does, weren't you? And at first I wondered what you meant when you said the bit of a mystery about what it is and isn't, and then I realized, okay, yeah, the dream thing and stuff, but it's surely it's about recharging, isn't it, and kind of regeneration and all that kind of thing. So that makes sense, doesn't it? This idea of if you've not had a lot of sleep, that you're not going to be kind of performing at full function or whatever, or at full efficiency. Isn't
that feels like
a torture device? So wasn't it used as a torture device or something at one point?
Yes. Isn't it possibly the only effective torture method that we've got? Except that by the time he gets on awake for 4 days, they don't know what's real anymore either. So they still can't really answer your questions in any meaningful way.
Yeah. And there was a TV program, which it was literally all about trying to stay awake at one point as well.
Ooh, I didn't see that. Is it the thing where everyone's got to keep their hand on a car and whoever's got takes the hand off last wins the car?
I think it's kind of like that, but some sicker version. We'd have all these challenges of trying to stay awake and stuff. I don't think it lasted too long. Ironically, I think it was on late at night, but...
Yes. Must see you'll have to stay up to watch this. It's strange, isn't it? What do you reckon is the longest that you've been awake for?
Well, I ran one of the balls at the university. So I would have been, I was up at probably 7. And then we went straight through to the event and it was like 12-hour thing. And then we packed up and everything else. And then we walked over the road to the pub, obviously. So that must have been about 11. The next day, I mean, probably in there till lunchtime. So, but I remember crossing the road, wanting to go for a pint, but thinking I wasn't too sure if I were capable of getting across the road. Not because I hadn't had anything to drink; I was just, you know, gone. So what's that?
Yes,
10.5.
It's not bad. I know I've done, I think, 3 days, which was too long.
Jesus, why? Not through choice.
I just couldn't sleep. I mean, we used to do 24-hour plays at university where you'd turn up at 6 o'clock in the evening and then write, rehearse, and learn a play and then perform it at 6 o'clock the next evening. So, of course, you've already been up for a full day before that. So that was 36 hours plus whatever else it is you go and do after that. So that's easily verging on, you know, 2 days anyway. And after that, I slept for 16 hours. That was great. But no, I really couldn't sleep at all before I started taking sleeping tablets, where sleep was just utterly elusive. I just felt grey and drained. Yeah, that must have been about 3 days before finally just wiping out properly. Not great. Very hard to do anything at the end of that, because you start doing things and then everything just sort of fades and turns grey and fuzzy. And you forget, well, I was just forgetting what I was doing or what I was saying. And it felt, you know, hollow, like you can feel your eyes sinking backwards into your skull, and everything becoming sort of thin and tenuous. Very weird sensation.
That was a very good
highly recommended. Oh, thank you.
That TV program was called Shattered, by the way.
It's called what?
Shattered.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
2004. Only lasted for one season.
Has everybody died?
American one called Awake.
I think that's a fascinating alternative. Shattered's a really good term. That really nicely describes that feeling when you've had like 2 hours sleep for a few nights in a row and just everything feels broken, and trying to drag yourself together enough to function is overwhelming. How about you, Wes? How long have you been awake for? Not today, obviously.
The longest time. I was just trying to think when Matt was telling his story. It's probably like a similar kind of thing, maybe like a couple of days. I remember once going out on a night out and then getting to that certain time of night where it's like pubs are closing and it's like club kind of time. Mm-hmm. And then from there to like a lock-in somewhere. And then in the morning to like a working men's club that opened daft o'clock in the morning, and then for lunch at a pub and that opened, and then like carrying on kind of thing. But that's not really the same as just being awake, is it, if you're out?
Yes, not. The booze carries you through
some kind of recreational assistance or anything like that, because that's not something I've ever really bothered with. So purely just drinking alcohol. Should send you the other way, really, shouldn't it? I think eventually I just fall asleep.
I remember so many people falling asleep in clubs, which is great, you know, even though the bass is incredibly loud, they're just still passed out because they've been up for too long and just can't handle it anymore.
Where does your lack of sleep and mental health fit into each other, Nick? Do you think is it too obvious to say that one follows the other, or is it they sometimes completely separate? Or
I think one starts it and then they follow the other round, like, and so Aurora bus biting its own tail. And then it's sort of like just a bicycle wheel of weird hoop snake rolling down a hill. It just gets worse and worse. A lot of it for me, I think, comes from when I was a teenager, I didn't sleep much. I didn't get like 3, maybe 4 hours sleep a night in my early teens at school. And that's really deleterious over time. I didn't really get that anything was wrong, especially. And then I'd crash out for the end of the whole of a Saturday or Sunday and catch up at the weekend a bit. And that would roll around quite a lot. I attribute a lot of my bad memory to not really sleeping for quite a long time, because there's nothing really there. I got, you know, the vague outlines. But there's certainly a lot to do with like trauma in my teens, that when that returned in my 20s, that was definitely why I wasn't sleeping. There's no sleep to be had. I just go to sleep feeling incredibly tense, or go to bed, lie there for hours, getting absolutely enraged. I get so angry when I can't sleep. I can't contain it. I feel hot and full of fury. I just want to kill things. And then, of course, you're not going to sleep because you're already then enraged and far too, I guess, emotionally invested in being awake. It just makes it much worse. And yeah, for me, ultimately, the only solutions were loads of booze or booze and weed. So I would then eventually, if not pass out, then be chilled out to the point where I didn't care if I was asleep. And then ultimately getting onto proper sleeping tablets that will generally put me to sleep and keep me asleep for a given number of hours, which then gives me I guess, enough stability to then get through the next day, and then it's fine. Yeah, once that routine's reestablished of getting enough sleep, it's things are bearable and you can cope with it, or I can cope with it. But I can feel it. Even if I've got a couple of nights where I only get 4 hours sleep, I'll start to get tetchy and start to get a little bit lost in the world. Strange feeling.
Have a lot more sleep, please. Clients, it comes up a lot within client work, the sleep thing.
Mm.
Seems to be that whenever there's other stuff going on, like sleep's in the mix as well, you know. Again, it makes sense, doesn't it? I suppose if something's going on in your life or you're struggling with a particular issue, it's quite likely that sleep's affected in some way. Whether it's worrying about things that are going on or whether it's linked to a mental health struggle that you're dealing with. It pops up all over the place, doesn't it, sleep?
It's probably one of the only times of the day when you're completely alone with yourself, aren't you? You know, even if someone's next to you, they're probably asleep, unfortunately, or going through the same thing. And you just, the only thing you've got is your thoughts, really.
Yeah, I think that's something I've heard time and time again. It's something I can relate to for myself. I can say it's different reasons for me at different times where my sleep might be affected, but that's one part of it for me sometimes, is being able to switch my brain off. I think this is why that it pops up so often. There can be so many things that affect sleep. Trying to give my thoughts because I'm tired. I think.
Thank you for the demonstration.
Yeah, I think GPs come across it quite a lot, and they have to kind of, well, we need to go to basics and try all of this stuff first before I jump into a conclusion, you know. Kind of like back pain, you know, because there's so many different causes of back pain and everything else. I think it's the same kind of thing. I used to work in a GP surgery and work as part of like a wellbeing service. The amount of people would come through talking about sleep. And so it was going back to basics for stuff around sleep hygiene. And people would just get pissed off of it all, but it's like, I've tried all this, I've tried all that, and, you know. And in cases where maybe there was something else going on that was affecting sleep, it was almost like, well, we have to cross all this other stuff off the list first, you know.
So. It's funny that, because I think you're right. I mean, the sleep hygiene thing is a really hard thing to do systematically, you know, where you're like, I will turn everything off at 9 o'clock, and then I will definitely do something for an hour. I'll have a nice cup of hot milk and then go to bed or whatever. Yeah, that works.
A routine, are you?
Yeah.
Routines are really good for sleep.
It's about routine. It's about kind of digital detoxing. There's certain theories about whether, you know, if you're not sleeping, should you get up and get out of bed or not, or stay put? People disagree on that. And then there's stuff around what you use your bed for and the bedroom space, all sorts of things.
What you use your bed for?
Yeah, like, for example, your bedroom should just be a place that you go there and retire and go to sleep. Not that you're sitting in it doing other things or sitting
watching
TV.
Things like that. And modern world and whether that kind of impacts on, you know, our abilities to sleep and stuff. I think lots of people would say it does. Technological age and 24-hour living and all that kind of stuff.
It's a bit weird. I find it even strange because I work at home now, so I don't really need to get up first thing in the morning either. So if I don't need to be up at 7 o'clock, why would I go to bed at 11? Why not just go to bed at 2 and get up at 9 or all of these things? And that's definitely stretching my capacity to manage my sleep at the moment, because I used to have very good sleep routine. It got thrown out, you know, a few days a week by going out in the evening and stuff. But my usual, like all of Facebook and everything else dies at 8 o'clock, TV goes off at 9. All of that is really useful, but so hard to achieve. If anything else, if you're out of the house, you have other people that are exciting and interesting. My other half doesn't go to bed till much later than I am. So avoiding all of that stuff is even harder. And say when I got put on sleep tablets the first time, they made us do all that, you know, what is your routine? What are you doing? What do you do if you wake up in the middle of the night? And yeah, I've realized I have to get up. I have to get up and leave the bed.
Then that's why. So they will go through a whole lot of other kind of things first.
Mm. It does make you wonder though, that if you could just give people sleep tablets, so they just like, cool, I don't care what else is wrong with you. just go and sort your sleep out. I wonder how well that would just sort out everything else. And I agree, it's probably not the best approach, but it makes me very curious. If you could just fix that one thing in a bunch of people's lives, will everything else just be like, oh, that's kind of cool, and just shuffled into place afterwards?
Like how just mind would sleep kind of thing. To else, you mean? Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
the days are wrecked, aren't they?
Some people go and do exercise.
The days that I don't get enough sleep. The nights I don't get enough sleep. The next day is just, you know, I'm almost just going through the motions and kidding myself that I'm working. You know what? You do some stuff, don't you? But you don't. You know, it's not 100%, for sure.
Speak for yourself, Matt. I know I can put 100% into everything I do, and
you should put 110% into everything you do, not 100.
I'm 120% kind of guy. That allows you to go down to merely 100% when I'm very tired. You know, and act like a normal mortal at that point. But you're right. It really trashed you. I find I genuinely don't remember what I've done and can't remember what's been happening if I haven't had enough sleep. It's a horrible feeling. Yeah, I'm kind of used to not remembering details of stuff. I'm just doing things. And I go, do you remember doing that? Nah, not at all. Here's the thing that you've done. Cool. That looks really nice. You did it yesterday. Great. I am pleased. I'm glad that yesterday was a productive day for different Nick. Do you not get that? It's horrible. It's very confusing. It's weird. I'm considering stopping taking sleeping tablets again because I've been on them for a long time, but they're very useful because, you know, I can take them and I'll go to sleep more or less straight away, close to Matt's, like, lie down and just go to sleep, which was an incredible, like, dreamlike state that I'd considered as a teenager, but didn't really believe that people actually did. I thought that was a lie, that everyone lay there angry for like 3 hours before finally going to sleep. Apparently it's possible, and it's very exciting. But being
the trick is to be angry all day, and then you don't have to do that.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Hulk. Yeah.
Which is easy.
That would be She-Hulk grade. You know, but I do find that sleeping tablets erode my capacity for other things. They do knock the highs and lows off, you know, emotional responses and stuff. And, you know, in that manner, which makes sense, you know, in order to be chilled enough to go to sleep,
I've
you need to not be
as well, but,
raged.
Not quite the same as natural sleep and all that kind of stuff, which sounds almost obvious in one sense, doesn't it? But I think that's part of the reluctance to put people on them, isn't it? Because it's not like...
You don't find exercise helps, Nick?
Well, I do
being physically knackered, you know, does that...
No, I can't be physically worn out in that sense. It won't make me fall asleep. I've tried that, you know, go for a run, swim, do loads of things. It doesn't really make any difference. Right. If anything, it wakes me up. Most things wake me up. I find most activities or almost anything fairly stimulating, like read a book. Ooh, I'm excited by this story. Go and, I don't know, look at an owl. Ooh, aren't owls cool? All of these things are equally enlivening. So I need it to just cut off and stop. But I don't like the overall results. I don't feel like I have proper emotional highs and lows. I don't get super happy or super excited. I always say mostly get super sad. But I think I'd like to get the ordinary feelings back. Maybe. I might decide not to once I've stopped taking them. I have done this before and decided and realized I couldn't cope with it.
Do you have to, sorry if I'm asking something I shouldn't, but do you have to just stop them or can you phase it or can you do it every day?
No. They recommend not stopping taking anything like that. You're supposed to titrate down. So I'm already on a much lower dose than I used to be. I was on 75 micrograms of amitriptyline, something like that when I started, 75 to 100. And that'll knock you out and you won't remember a thing. But now I'm down to like 25. And that's quite a lot less, and it's less likely to knock me out, but also it doesn't have that same strong monging effect of being sort of mentally hungover the next day. It's a strange sensation. Everything's a little bit fuzzier, but you have at least been to sleep, which is cool. I would recommend Zopiclone. That's incredible. It's a hypnotic. You take it and like half an hour later, you're like, oh, I really, really must lie down now. Because you'll be asleep within another 3 minutes. It's amazing. Then you're out for 7 to 8 hours and then wake up and everything's fine. God, that's amazing.
The one time in my life I was taking sleeping tablets, I just spent the whole of the next day feeling like I'd I was drugged, you know, just you know, that, like a hangover of it. Well, that's what it is, you know, of
sort of, yeah,
the drugs itself.
Yeah, you have to. I just had to decide which is better for me, being not sleeping or having that kind of hangover that you can kind of get used to. And see, you know, I have mostly gotten used to it, and I don't think too much about it. And it's only in comparison with how I see other people or how I feel that I was before taking sleeping tablets that I'm measuring whether or not I've got proper emotional range and stuff. Mm. It's going to be a bit messy though if I do stop taking them. That definitely won't go brilliantly initially. But since I don't have to get up and go to work, I don't have to cycle in traffic every morning, maybe it wouldn't be too bad. But yeah, that seems like something I could probably cope with. See if I start doing that in the next month. That would be a fun project to report back on.
Well, I was just going to say, if nothing else, it'd just be a fun experiment, won't it?
Fun for everybody. Well, at least we have another room with a bed in now. So if I'm not sleeping, I can just come up here rather than annoying Marilyn. So that would not be popular. It's strange, yeah. I don't think I've ever had a really happy relationship with sleep. I would like to. I would like sleep and I to know each other well and be good friends that climb into bed together without being forced to by drug interventions. I think that would be great. We'll see.
Yeah.
Everyone should be on drugs, though, for some form for sleep. It would be great. Just have them available. Like, you can't sleep? Cool. Take one of these. Oh, asleep. And then up the next day. That just sounds perfect. I think you're right. Doctors are reluctant to do that.
I don't know. When I think I've said this before. When I had to get sleeping tablets, they almost gave them to me instantly, you know, which I thought was a bit weird, actually.
Maybe they did do the kind of assessment I was talking about, you know, like, it doesn't appear to be anything particularly wrong with you. You're just not sleeping. Have some sleep. See how you feel.
I know. I told them I was depressed and had suicidal thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they're just like, oh, I can't be asked.
And then they gave me sleeping tablets. I just suppose you've got a bottle of whiskey there as well. I mean,
yeah, as long as they didn't say, take quite a lot of these, you'll feel much better. That wouldn't be great. That's a very particular kind of doctoring. And they don't usually stay as doctors for very long.
But they don't do whiskey on the NHS, by the way, just for clarity. Let's just be clear on that. So, but I guess if they did, they'd have to do single malts, wouldn't they? Because you can get some whiskeys cheaper than prescription, but so you'd have to be the higher end.
You don't want some dodgy blend, you know? It's just like taking your Tesco ibuprofen, that's not good. Yeah. You want fancy, expensive stuff. It's exactly the same, but far, far costlier.
Yeah.
It is odd, but... well, coping with not sleeping without going to the doctor is quite a challenge, isn't it? Because then you do end up drinking whiskey or whatever.
There is something to be said around the sleep hygiene stuff, though, because we probably, I mean, you have to stick to it and kind of go at it for a while and have it better. But I think people are so frustrated or maybe kind of attribute not being able to sleep to something specific that often these things aren't really stuck with. But having a look at some of that sleep hygiene stuff for anyone who is struggling to get off, I mean, it can at least increase the chances. But I think there's a lot to be said for put your mind off as well. I think that's quite a common thing. I know it's a common thing for me.
You're supposed to turn off all devices or TVs at a certain point?
Yeah, it's a bit... It's about what you do in the last few hours of the day, and it's almost like winding down in lots of different ways, you know. So having screen time and devices, kind of having that stop a certain amount of time before you intend to try to go to sleep. And then maybe in that space after that is where you could do some of the practical things like winding down activities or hot drinks or whatever. And then... Go on, Jim.
So the screen time and you have a gap between that and when you go to bed.
Yeah.
How do you... Are you supposed to do, like, meditation and stuff like that, I guess?
You could do that, yeah. You could have a bath. You might read a book or have a hot drink. It's going to be different things for different people, perhaps.
I can tell you what mine's supposed to be.
Yeah,
which I don't always, which I don't, which I haven't been following brilliantly of late, because I've been sleeping quite well. So inevitably I've gone, well, then I guess I don't need any of these things. So that's going to go super well. Obviously, that's very plain. But in theory, my sleep routine goes, my phone disables Facebook and social media stuff at like 8 o'clock. So I can't waste time looking at people sharing pictures of cats or being sad or being stressed about stuff or all of that stuff, which is very, I was going to say triggering, but it's not necessarily triggering. It's often irritating and involving. And then so that junk stops. So they can happily watch TV till about like 9 or half 9. Then all of then TV should stop. Because again, that's engaging, staring at something, pretty flickering pictures. All of these things are very stimulating for your brain. So after that, I should just be reading, ideally sticking like my white noise app on and listening to some nice, I can't, I've got on the sound of cat purring and washing machines and some wind in the background. The combinations are amazing. And then I can maybe have a cup of tea or a whiskey or something. And just, although alcohol is usually rejected for most of these things, but you know, it works all right for me. And have that, read my book, chill out, go to bed. And then if all has gone well, I will fall asleep within about 10 minutes of having lain down. That's my proper routine. And I stick to it sometimes.
Bedroom is this space that's just for sleep as well, because that's sometimes the thing for people, that you're psychologically ready for sleep then, and you're moving into the sleep space, you know. And then there's stuff you can do to kind of shut down your body, body scans, mind, you know, settling the mind, those kind of exercises. Some people, maybe they would want to like journal at the end of the night in that space after the kind of digital stuff has stopped to kind of clear the thoughts. So there's probably lots of things that, you know, could be people to think about if they are struggling with sleep.
I'd find that journal thing and having a bath and having a cup of tea or what it is that you have making the situation worse than the TV. I mean, some of the TV that we watch towards the end of the night, it's just like that wallpaper stuff that every show, every episode is exactly the same. Currently on The Mentalist, by the way. And it shuts my brain off because I don't really have to think about it. I just watch he thinks he's Sherlock Holmes again, and he already knows the killer from day one, but decided not to tell anyone. He's done some cunning trick at the end, and hey, I'm not clever.
He's a stage illusionist. He's bound to be able to solve crimes. But you're right. That might well be a good alternative. You know, it depends what
very individual
wakes your brain up. Yeah, some people, as Wes says, you know, need to meditate for half an hour. I'm far too impatient for that sort of thing. But reading a book for an hour, that's really good. And then you're right. Yeah, then I don't go into the bedroom until I'm ready to go to bed. That's a safe space for just snoozing. What do you guys think about when you're going to sleep? Just think about that. That's a specific thing that used to get me. Like, how do you just like go to sleep? It took me years to find the right way around to have like my arms like lying on my side to go to sleep. That took a really long time to get that combination right, lying on my side.
You lie like that.
I mean, it's better than lying like that. So I lie. So I got one arm.
Okay, like this.
One arm under. Yeah, yeah. And in a pillow. Yeah, yeah. It's got to be the right way around. Otherwise, it doesn't work. I found that years ago. But
I usually just to go to sleep properly because I'm not comfortable, and then start to think about how uncomfortable my bed is. Or if I'm not doing that, I'm thinking about something tomorrow. There's different things for me at different times.
I concentrate on the spots. You know, when you close your eyes, it's like it's almost like the sky at night, and try to focus on one object towards it. Basically,
hey, that sounds cool.
You always had those spots. Maybe you should go and get that.
Yeah, well, you know, if you close your eyes, it's not completely black, is it?
Do you have a light shining on your face while your eyes are closed?
Is it completely black for you when you close your eyes?
No, it's not. No,
close
no.
My eyes, I just concentrate on the screams.
You close your eyes, you begin to hallucinate immediately. So yeah, you can lean into that, can't you?
Yeah, and that's it.
I try and focus on being in whatever book I'm reading. I found that's really good, because then it's not any part of my life, so it's not like a stressful thing. It doesn't really matter what the book is either. It could be a lovely story, it could be a story about people being murdered in a house. It doesn't really matter. As long as I put myself in that story that I've been most recently reading, I find that's quite soothing and, I guess, self-erasing enough to just drift into sleep.
Does all this stuff, is it there to affect how quickly you go to sleep and are capable to go to sleep, or the kind of duration of the sleep that you have? Is that a thing?
For me, it's all of those. But if I can't get to sleep, I can't have any duration of sleep. So
No.
That follows kind of logically.
It's just I never have an issue going to sleep. The issue I have sometimes is staying asleep past a certain point.
And I think that that must be different for different people, and probably there are different reasons. So, like, if you can't get to sleep, it's about figuring out what's stopping you getting to sleep. If you can get to sleep, but then you're waking up, you know, there's probably a whole set of different reasons for that.
That's harder.
Yeah.
I do hate anything where you wake up half through the night and immediately you're thinking about a work-related thing or something that is going to require some thought and some work, but actually isn't particularly stressful unless you wake up at 4 a.m. It's the first thing you think about, at which point it attains a whole extra degree of anxiety and need that when you finally fall asleep and then wake up again at like in the morning, you're like, oh yeah, well, I know the solution to that problem. It's these two things. Cool. Job done. I wish I hadn't woken up 4 hours ago and fretted about it.
Or if you just wake up 10 minutes before the alarm, that's pretty annoying as well, isn't it?
Yes. I've been angry about that.
I am staying in bed for an extra 10 minutes until the alarm goes off.
Yeah, that 10 minutes are frustrated, not really asleep at all. And you know that you're not getting back to sleep, but you've stuck your heels in now. So you're definitely not going to not try and sleep. Oh, that's all very stressful, horrible stuff. Don't know. We are about up with time, boys.
Yeah, I was going to say we should probably wrap up. I'm tired. I think I'm going to go to bed.
Any final thoughts about sleep before we join that sweet solace of slumber?
I just think about you, Nick, about what you're going to have to, what you've been going through and what you're going to have to go through. And it would be good to see how you approach that and if you're all right with it, how you get on with it. Cause, it's just the fact that you're going to try and do that shows a kind of, you know, verve you have, my friend, isn't it? You know, that's quite a thing.
Yeah, let's see how that actually goes before we apply fancy adjectives to it. Might just be renegade and giving up very quickly. We'll see. For me, it's actually this chat has been a very good reminder that I have allowed my sleep hygiene to degenerate to a very dangerous level. And I know what happens when it gets really bad. So I do need to patch that back up. So thank you, boys. This is a very helpful reminder that I need to fix my sleep routines and get that stuff back together.
Prompt.
You should go.
Take care, everybody. See you soon.
Yes, yes.
Next time we're in person, aren't we?
We are. I thought you said in Perth, which seemed implausible, but you know, I'm up for that too. That sounds great.
Yeah.
All right. Well, until next time, look after yourselves and each other.
Yeah, take care of yourself. Bye.
Bye. Exhausted with some great. If you've been affected by anything that we've talked about tonight, that's cool. We were kind of hoping you would be. If you haven't been affected by anything tonight, then that's great too. You're probably fine. Of course, if you say you're fine, there's a good chance you aren't. So you might also have been affected. And if you've been affected before, you probably will be again. Please talk to someone. It can get better, and together we can survive. We are what we overcome. And these poor little boys, grounded by the sun, by his side, but something's right.